All right, so we are picking up with our topic tonight. It's probably the topic that when we started this series, most of us were most interested in hearing about. Tonight we're talking about dating, everybody's favorite topic. What does the Bible really say about dating? We're going to do a little bit of a plot twist here. I have two disclaimers on the front end, really one disclaimer and one other point of interest. The first one is this. If you have been in RUF any period of time, you know what we tend to do for a quarter is open a book of the Bible and we will just go through that book and let the text set the agenda for what we're going to talk about. And every now and then we'll do series that are a little bit more topical, though they tend to be sort of rare. And when we do that, we still go to the Bible and we pose a question to it and let the Bible sort of set the answer for it. Well, tonight will be different than pretty much any other night in RUF for your whole time here, because the Bible doesn't actually say anything about dating. That doesn't mean dating is good or bad. We can be pro-dating. I think there's a lot that's probably helpful about dating. But we want to be up front at the beginning and say, what does the Bible say about dating? Well, there's no passage we can turn to that says, this is how you ought to date. But just because there's not a specific verse on it doesn't mean that we can't learn from the Bible, because what we're going to do is in some ways work backwards from what we've already seen is true in all the other relationships that we've gone through and sort of discern what dating is by how it's not the other things, and still glean wisdom from what the Bible says in its totality. So tonight is going to be a little bit different. It might feel a little more like a list of good advice than a sermon, or maybe somewhere in between those two things. So that's sort of disclaimer number one. The second thing is the vast majority of what you're going to hear me say tonight is not original ideas that I came up with. A lot of it is wisdom that has come from people who have thought a lot about this stuff, pastors and other campus ministers throughout RUF that have really, I think, done a great service in the way that they've thought about what dating is. In their teaching, but also formatively for me and for my wife, Elizabeth, even as we were thinking about dating. So credit where credit's due. These names will probably mean nothing to you, but Jason Sterling and Les Newsom, both of whom were previous campus ministers for RUF at Ole Miss, were super pivotally helpful for me and many others, honestly, on this topic. So let's jump in. Okay, we're going to look to the Bible and see what it has to say to help sort of set a category of wisdom for us. But before we do that, let me ask God to help us as we read his word together. So let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful that your word is true and that it is your words and that it's good for us, that it tells us what we need to hear, and it sets the paradigm for how we make sense of our lives. So tonight, as we pose a question to your text that may not have specific verses about it, that certainly does not mean that you are without wisdom and without guidance as we think about another relationship. And I know in this room, there's a lot of baggage that all of us bring into it, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of confusion, a lot of joy and celebration, and those things get mixed together as we try to figure out how we move forward with a complicated topic like dating. So give us wisdom so that ultimately we would have a clear vision for it, but more than anything else, that we would see the sufficiency of Jesus and his sacrifice that is offered to us. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, so our text tonight comes from the book of 1 Corinthians. This is in the New Testament. It's written by the Apostle Paul to a church in Corinth, and this is God's word to us. It says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. This is God's word to us tonight. I think regardless of your background, regardless of what you think about Christianity, we have some common ground, and that I think we can all agree that dating is complicated. Can we all just agree on that? Dating is very complicated. Yes, dating is very complicated. And that could be for any number of reasons. for some, maybe the sort of traditional route to get there looks like this. You see somebody from across the room, whether it be in RUF, whether it be in your class, whether it even be on social media, and they catch your attention and you're sort of interested, so you begin to construct your schedule and places to just so happen to overlap with where they are and accidentally run into them so you can spend more time or get to know them or whatever it is. And sure enough, you start spending more time together and getting to know them, and maybe you even go on a real life date at some point. And eventually what ends up happening is your friends or roommates ask you the inevitable question, what's going on with you two guys? Are y'all like dating? Are you guys talking? And you roll your eyes a little bit in frustration, and your frustration is a lot less that you wish they wouldn't ask the question, and a lot more because you yourself don't actually know, right? Dating can be complicated because figuring out where each of us is at can be awkward, or it can be confusing. Maybe some of us feel the complication of dating because we are dating somebody, and maybe it is going really well. And the more it goes well, the more we start to find questions coming up of, how do we figure out what this thing looks like moving forward? How do I plan time with them and with my friends? How do I balance that? How do I think about impending graduation and plans post-graduation and all kinds of decisions? To what extent are they involved in it? To what extent do I plan with them in view? And all kinds of uncertainty as that arises. So dating can be complicated because you don't really know how much is owed to the other person or how much is on you to figure out, and it feels like you're stuck in the middle. For some of us, dating is complicated for the exact inverse of that. And it's not because things are going well. It's because this has been the source of pain for us. Whether we had a really rough breakup or a really messy relationship, or we try to date people and it just hasn't worked out, and it's this painful reminder of our seemingly perpetual loneliness. Maybe because you've sought relationship after relationship or hookup after hookup and it just doesn't seem to be working out, and you feel burned and you feel empty. And if you already weren't convinced enough that the web of dating is complicated, we've seen this sort of like generational pushback against the very idea. And we have new categories like talking or situationship, where it's like there's a general resistance to the idea that dating could even be a net positive. Dating can be really complicated. But I think we can actually find some common ground regardless of what is making it complicated for you tonight. I actually think that all of those scenarios and any other scenarios we might enter into this room with are way more alike than we might be inclined to think. What is it that makes dating so complicated? Well, the last 2 weeks we've talked about a biblical view of what marriage and sex are. And just to do like a 20-second recap, if you remember, we've said that marriage is this divine drama, says the Bible, where you have a husband and a wife that are representing something much greater than just their own marriage, but actually it's a reflection of how much Jesus loves his church and a responding church of their love and service of Jesus. And what happens when you enter into this covenant of marriage is that suddenly there are all sorts of feelings and behaviors that become not just okay, but actually good. It becomes good to make decisions with your spouse in view more so than anybody else. It becomes good to have sex with your spouse and to have a family and to have kids and to enjoy life together. It becomes good to have emotional intimacy. It becomes good to value them above anybody else in the world. These things, by definition of marriage, become good. And if we can properly identify what things are for, then we start to know what it looks like to navigate in the midst of them. So when you go from not married to married, suddenly the definition of the relationship changes, right? So what if we pose that same question to dating? What happens when you go from not dating to dating? Have you ever thought about this question? What happens when you go from not dating to dating? How would you answer that question if somebody asked you? You might say, well, we realized that we both like each other. That might be true, but my suspicion is you already realized that when you stayed up talking on the phone for 3 hours or texting for 4 hours when you knew you had to get up at 6 the next morning. You might say, well, we are really only dating each other now. And again, that might be true, but again, my suspicion is you probably were only dating each other before you were dating, right? And inevitably, I think we end up landing on some type of definition that just says in some way, well, it's that we're committed to each other now. And my question is, what is it that we mean when we say committed? Because we've talked about the last 2 weeks how marriage is a relationship that is fundamentally defined by commitment, by covenant. So how is dating different? I think, here's one of the big sort of claims that I'm going to make tonight. I think much, if not all, of the complication with dating comes from our inability to ask and properly answer that question. What is dating? And here's my sort of hot take of a definition. You ready? Dating is simply two friends spending and enjoying time together, trying to figure out if they want to get married. And that is it. No more, no less. Marriage is defined by commitment, right? We've been saying that ad nauseum. Dating is not defined by commitment. Dating is defined by choice. So marriage by commitment, dating by choice. Primarily, it is not romance with friendship sprinkled in. It is actually friendship with romance sprinkled in, right? So one more time, marriage by commitment, but dating is by choice. Let's kind of put some legs to this and see what we mean by it. I think all of us in this room hate uncertainty, don't we? I know I despise uncertainty. I've talked about this with some of you guys. I think I would rather the bad thing just happen than live in a reality where I'm not sure if it will happen. I hate uncertainty so much. And my suspicion is you probably hate uncertainty as well. And inevitably what you find yourself in a dating relationship is sort of this this contrasting pull. Because on the one hand, you realize at a certain point, dating is only going to end in one of two ways. I vividly remember when this realization hit me. I was in a Kroger parking lot in December, and it was over 10 years ago. I remember it hitting me like, oh man, that's kind of scary. So on the one hand, you know there's only two routes, and you probably have a preference of which one you want it to be. But on the other hand, what you feel really presently is the inability in dating to know with confidence which one it's going to be. You have very limited control over the outcome because there's actually not been anything like codified into something with longevity. And in dating, you start to feel that pull between the outcome that you want, the thing that you want to be true of it, but a lack of agency in order to have that thing be true because it isn't marriage. So what is it that you do when you feel that pull? Here's sort of my other big point that I want to make tonight. That what we end up doing in dating when we feel that tension of like the outcome that we want versus the inability to have that true of dating is we start to, this is big, we start to put rules and expectations on the relationship that are only definitionally true of marriage. Okay, let me say that again. When we feel that pull, right, between the outcome that we want to be with this person, to have a real sense of commitment, and an inability for it to be true of dating, we start to put rules and expectations onto the relationship that are only definitionally true of marriage. That feels like a lengthy definition. Let's get a little bit more specific with this. What are ways that we start to implement these expectations onto others? Well, one of the ways we do it is an expectation of time. I'm going to go through a few of these. I'm going to caveat what I don't mean and then what I do mean. Okay. So an expectation of time. It might sound something like this. We get frustrated at the person that we're dating because they have decided to spend time with other people without checking with us first. They, you know, he didn't ask if Friday night could be for the boys, right? He should have asked me first. Okay, here's what I'm not saying. I think in a lot of ways what I'm not saying in these is just as important as what I am saying. What I'm not saying is that you are willing to tolerate behaviors that you would not tolerate in any friendship. In other words, if somebody says, yes, I would love to hang out with you Friday night. Let's meet at 8 at the Hive cafeteria or whatever, where dreams do come true. And then you show up at 8 at the Hive cafeteria and they are nowhere to be found And you text them and they say, oh, yeah, I just decided to go hang out with somebody else. I'm not talking about that. That is not cool if somebody stands you up. And you would not be tolerant of that behavior if anybody did that. Hopefully. Okay? Or if they just lie to you and say, yeah, I was studying at the library, and then you see a picture on social media. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying in a dating relationship you literally have no expectation. It should be the same expectation that you would have of any friend that you want to spend time with. That they're honest, that they're respectful, that they're kind. Here's what I am talking about, though. This expectation or assumption that you have more of a right to somebody's time by nature of your dating them. They have to ask if it's okay if they go do a thing. That you're frustrated if you think they're spending too much time with friends and not enough time with you. Right? That assumption is out of commitment and not by choice. You see how that works? Like, by nature of me dating you, you think they should be spending more time with me. That's an expectation of commitment. Look, if you're spending time with somebody and you both decide, you know, we've been getting together for coffee every Tuesday morning. This has been really nice. I think I'd like to keep doing that. Would you like to keep doing that? And you say, yeah, that'd be really fun. That's awesome. That is not, like, that is by choice, not by expectation or commitment. Anytime the rationale starts with, well, because we're committed, that's when you know you started to place an expectation that is only definitionally true of marriage. Okay, we also do this in terms of exclusivity. Let me ask a super controversial question. You ready? We'll get really, really controversial now. If you are dating somebody, do they have a right to go on a date with somebody else? Oh, let's think about this. What a great question. What a fantastic question. Okay. Again, what I am not saying is that they are lying to you or they're deceiving you in how they're going about this. Here's the type of thing that I'm talking about. You've been going on dates with somebody, you're dating, and they say, this person asked me out, and I think I might like to go. What's your response? This is where we really, like, rubber hits the road here. Like, I can feel the discomfort in the room. Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there, McKenna. Don't worry. We'll get there. Well, hey, we'll do Q&A at the end. I'll hang around for Q&A. How about that? I'll gladly devote my time until Taco Bell is about to close, which is very late, granted. All right. So what I'm not saying is if you're dating somebody and you get asked, you have to go with the other person. I'm not saying if you're dating somebody and somebody else asks them that you've got to be super duper excited. Like, yes, I would love it if you went. I'm just asking the question, do they have a right to go if they want to? This is where we start to figure out what we really think about dating. Because if you believe that somebody has wronged you simply by spending time with somebody else, assuming they have been honest with you, like, I'm not talking about if they're lying, assuming they've been honest, if you think that they have wronged you by spending time with somebody else, you have made an assumption that you have an expectation of their exclusivity, which is fundamentally not true of dating. Like, I think for a lot of us, that might be horribly shocking. There's a lot of clarifying that can be done on this too. Let me sort of keep going, okay? Again, if you're dating somebody and you say, hey, I just want to let you know, I really think this is going well, and I don't really have any intentions on dating anybody else right now. And the other person says, I really feel that way too. Like, I'm not interested in going on dates with anybody else. That is awesome. That's not what I'm talking about. That's by choice, right? You've both said, I have no interest. Like, I think this is going well. Not because you expect it. Not because you have this assumption that their time, their energy, them as a person belongs to you. And if you think what this is starting to feel like is that I'm giving grounds for somebody to walk all over you and you have no agency and no volition or ability to do anything in response, I think what that means is you've actually missed the point we're trying to make. Because if the whole thing is by choice and the person is acting towards you in a way that you actually don't think is good or kind or respectful or going in the direction you want, you have every freedom to break up and you did not do anything wrong. Right? I mean, assuming you're honest. If it's by choice the whole time and it's not codified commitment that's only true of marriage, if you break up with somebody, you have not necessarily... Now, there are plenty of ways to break up in ways that are wrong. But just by definition... breaking up, you have not actually done anything wrong because the whole time it was by choice. We're going to keep going with some of this. But the third expectation that I think starts to surface, and this is where like it gets even more intense, I think, for a lot of us. We have an expectation that somebody's body belongs to us. We spent an entire, 40 minutes last week pushing back on this idea that Christianity is like anti-sex, or that Christianity sees it as a bad thing. Not only did we push back, we argued the opposite, that Christianity has such a high view of sexuality that it is not just an expression of how you feel, that it actually does something whether or not you want it to, that the Bible is trying to help you by letting you know how to wield this power like in a good and enjoyable and helpful way. So we're saying like highest view that exists. So when the Bible comes along and actually says that sexual intimacy is reserved for the context of marriage, it's not doing it because it thinks it's a bad thing. It's actually doing it because it has this kind of thing in view. It's not giving you parameters because it's bad. It's actually giving you parameters because it's good. And now look, I am not saying within dating there is like a non-existent category for any kind of like physical connection. Not at all. Like, we are embodied. There's a category for like hugging and kissing that is not overtly sexual or intimate in that regard. Like, that is actually a thing. But what happens when we start to go beyond that? I think it's sort of worth us like reflecting on ourselves, even for Christians. Like, even if we can conceptually say, hey, I know this is true, but why is the pull so difficult to resist? Because it is. Why? Well, I think part of it is you like the person, hopefully. I think part of it is like you're attracted to the person, hopefully. But I think what goes a lot further than this is that you want to feel the security that this person is not going to change their mind. And if everything that we said last week is objectively true about sex, that it is a uniting act, that it is demonstrating with your body to somebody else, I'm not going anywhere, that is a way to feel it. Regardless of what you think about it, like, that is a thing that's going to happen. And we want to feel this confidence that the person I'm dating is not going to change their minds. We feel the tension. I want an outcome, but I actually don't have all the control over it that I'd like, and I don't have the grounds to know that they're committed. We begin to operate as if we have expectation or exclusivity over somebody's body, which means in a capacity where we're dating, that is, sexual intimacy actually is not caring towards the person you're dating. It's actually using them for your own sense of security. And if that sounds harsh, I don't mean it to. I really do not. Like, the Bible is setting this up in a way that is meant to actually honor people because it has a high view of the body and sexuality. So here's the premise, though. Kind of all this to say. Dating relationships are the best when they are the most free, which feels totally contrary to, I think, the conventional ways that we've been taught to think about dating. And for a lot of us, this feels like an enormous paradigm shift. And what I hope is that you'll just track with me for a minute, because even if you're not totally sold, like, I think what you might begin to see is that there is something to this. I remember, almost 10 years ago at this point, when I was dating Elizabeth. Disclaimer, by the way, I'm not saying this is somebody who pretends to be any kind of guru. Elizabeth and I dated for 4 years, which is a long time in a lot of ways to date somebody that, like, you're pretty sure you want to marry. And I know how challenging this is. And in a lot of ways, what I'm saying is out of wisdom from what people have said in ways that, like, I know we could have done better. Well, really that I could have done better. She was way better about this than I was. I remember about 10 years ago, we were both living in Oxford, Mississippi. We were dating. And there was a concert that was in Birmingham, Alabama. It's a band that my dad and I both really like. So we got tickets to go, super excited about it. Fast forward a few weeks, Elizabeth said she was in a sorority, which I know like could not be any less interesting to most of us in here. And her sorority was having a date party, and she was super excited. You know, friends were going to be there, really wanted to go, pretty reasonable. She told me about it, and she told me when it was, and I realized that's actually the same day as this concert that me and my dad are going to. And I didn't want to back out on my dad, like, that's not cool. And we really wanted to go, so, you know, I said, like, man, like, I really hate it, but I'm going to be out of town. And she was sad about it. And then she said, I really do still want to go. And all my friends are going to be there. Would you mind if I went with somebody else? So for a lot of you, if you think I'm saying this stuff, like, you don't know what it's like. I know what it's like. So she asked, do you mind if I go with somebody else? There's a friend that she had, a guy that I knew too. And she said, do you mind if I go with him? And I remember where we were in this conversation. And I remember thinking, everything in me wants to say, I really wished you wouldn't go. But I remembered, like, people who were much wiser than me saying the exact same thing that I'm saying now in a lot of ways, and saying, dating relationships are the best when they are the most free. And I did a thing I did not want to do. And I said, that sounds like fun, you should go. So I went to the concert. She went to the date party. This might surprise you. I hate dancing. That probably didn't surprise you at all. And this guy was a great dancer. And like, there's a part of me during this concert, I'm like, gosh, what if he's an awesome dancer? And what if she has fun? And what if I come back and she doesn't want to date anymore? I come back and I'm wondering what's she gonna think? So the next day we hang out and we talk, and sure enough, like, she had a fun time and she enjoyed her time with this guy and with her friends. And at the end of the conversation, she said, yeah, it's fun. But I definitely want to keep dating. And I said, that's great, because I definitely want to keep dating too. And what that allowed us to do actually was to celebrate the fact that she had fun without me constantly trying to figure out I had to control what she was doing. And it actually brought clarity to the question that dating is trying to answer. Is this somebody that I want to spend my life with? And when we stopped, I say all this not because I was good at it, but because she was, and we had people that helped us with this. When I stopped trying to figure out ways that I could get from her the security that I really felt like I needed, it allowed us to have fun together. It allowed us to enjoy each other's time, to see it as a privilege, to start to actually see with clarity if this was somebody that I was going to spend the rest of my life with, and her with me. And even if she had broken up, it would have been really, 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 really sad. I'm not saying you're like an impenetrable stoic if you get broken up with, like, you don't care because it wasn't that big of a deal. No, not at all. But the best dating relationships are the ones that are the most free. And if you're still not convinced, like, let's just be a little bit pragmatic for just a minute. Because I am confident that there's a number of us in the room that would say, like, that sounds terrible. Why on earth would I want to do that? That sounds like a diminishment of the goodness of dating. We'll just be pragmatists. I'm not saying any of this prescriptively from here on out. I'm saying this anecdotally. I've been in ministry for 10 years, and I have sat down with a lot of people and talked about a lot of dating relationships, really all over the map. And I thought about this because I didn't want to say it if it wasn't true. But I can say without fail, the relationships that have been the messiest, the breakups that have been the hardest, the ones that have been the most enmeshed, have been the ones that resemble most qualities of marriage. And the ones that have been filled with the most friendship and joy and celebration, and the breakups that were sad but the least tumultuous, were the ones that operated more like friendship with the least amount of expectations. I can say across the board that that has been true. I think you should ask the same question to yourself. Of your friends, which dating relationships feel the most unhealthy, feel the most closed off from other people, feel the most enmeshed? I bet it's the ones that are marked by the most expectation and rules, and the ones that spend the most time around friends that actually seem to have fun and enjoy each other are not sitting there putting rules and expectations on one another. I would be willing to bet that that's probably true. Which breakups hurt the most? The ones where emotional and physical intimacy most describe the relationships, or the ones where you actually see it as a privilege to spend time with one another, and where friendship is the primary key? And as I was thinking through this, trying to make sure that I wasn't going to misrepresent my experience, what I began to realize is there actually was a common thread in each of these underneath that I think led to this outworking. In other words, there was something else that was going on with these. That the ones that ended up, the dating relationships that ended up being the most life-giving and the most full of joy and celebration and fun, were the ones that could look at the other person and know if they broke up, that the person they were looking at was not the one that they depended on for their ultimate security. That as much as they enjoyed and perhaps even loved the person that they were dating, they did not need them to have their ultimate security, which is actually what allowed them to date with freedom. And the ones were the most catastrophic and devastating were the ones where they were looking to the person they were dating to ultimately give them the deepest longing that they were valued and needed and loved and worth it. Look, I am not standing up here with any sense of superiority with this stuff. I messed up a lot in dating. And honestly, I think the reason Elizabeth and I lasted in our dating relationship was because she was a lot better at this stuff than I was. And we had people around us who were willing to call us on it and actually give us the wisdom that maybe we didn't even want to hear ourselves. But all of us want to be valued. All of us want to feel like we are worth being loved and cared for. That is a good desire to have because you were made for that desire. The key, though, to this desire actually being met is you've got to be able to place it on something or someone that can actually carry it. Because if you put that on somebody that you were dating or even married to, that will crush them. It will either destroy the relationship or the weight of them having to carry your identity will absolutely demolish them. Because we were not made to carry that for somebody else. The key to being able to date with freedom and to marry with the confidence that the person that you are going to marry actually will give to you more than they're taking from you is to see that they were not meant to answer this question for you. That exactly what the Apostle Paul says in the passage that we read, somebody who knows the weight of a relationship being lost, Paul gave up all of his status, and he had a lot of it, all of his status, money, credibility, everything he had, for what he says in verse 2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that cost him everything. He ends up going to jail. He ends up suffering for this belief. And what he's saying is ultimately that Jesus is sufficient. And if you can actually operate in a way that believes that is true, that Jesus is sufficient for you to know who you are, that will liberate you in your dating relationships. Because you know if it goes well, you can celebrate it, but if it doesn't, it is not going to destroy the fabric of who you are. We've said it each week, that our dating relationships, that our marriages, that our friendships, all of these things are shadows pointing to a greater relationship. What if we could actually enter into a dating relationship with that same mentality? Where you could enter into a dating relationship and have a goal with somebody else that says, I don't know how this is going to end, but I hope, regardless of how it does, Jesus will be more beautiful to each other than when we started. What kind of life-giving relationship would that be? What kind of freedom would you have in that? I just want to wrap up with a little bit of application here of what this looks like for us moving forward. I don't want to just give you information with nothing to think or do about it. And this is going to sound a little bit paradoxical because it is. There's two takeaways that I want us to have from this. That we should take dating more seriously and we should take it less seriously. Wow, how does that work together? Glad you asked. We should take dating more seriously. Look, there are only two ways, we already said this, that a dating relationship can end. Marriage, breakup, that's it. Which means you should at least have that question in view when you're dating somebody. Is this somebody I want to marry? I'm not saying you figured that out on the first date. That's a really bad idea. But I'm saying there are three answers you can give to that question. Is this somebody I want to marry? Yes, no, or I'm not sure yet. So I'd like to keep dating. Which means that you should have some idea of the type of person that you want to marry. I don't mean he needs to have blue eyes. I mean what's the kind of person, I guess you can if you want to. What's the kind of person that you want to be with? Not just somebody you want to be with, but maybe even somebody that you want to be like. That you see things in them that you admire. And look, we've mentioned this before. This is part of the... There is not really anything in this that I'm saying tonight that I can say, thus says the Lord, because it's right here in the Bible about dating. It does not say that. And it would be a little bit disingenuous of me to say that it does. But it does talk about marriage. And part of the reason it gives this parameter that Christians are not to marry non-Christians is not because it's being closed-minded, but because it's actually trying to protect you. And in 10 years, I've had so many conversations of two people who really by all accounts really did care about one another and really were kind and really did make each other laugh. I have no doubts that any of those things is true. But when the time comes to ask the question of how is this going to shape the most fundamental question you're asking of your life, who do you think God is? Who do you think you are? I tend to hear the same answers, right? They believe in God. They still have this sort of general moral understanding of how to be good and why it's good. And, they'll go to church with me and maybe they did have a hard time in the church and they're kind of slowly getting back there. They're cautious to get back. And look, all of those things might very well be true.
And that person might genuinely be a kind person, and they might really care about you. But does that mean that you should be dating them? And 100% of the time that this question has been asked, I hear a response that says, I genuinely believe they will change over time. And I cannot prescriptively say that will never happen. I can say in 10 years, I've seen it happen one time. And that one time over the past year has started to become very complicated. What I have seen, though, among many friends, many people who I cared about, and many students, is a slow drift away. That faith in Christ is actually something that they begin to care about less. And if you think that you can get married and then figure it out, like, in the most loving way possible, I say this, I don't think you understand marriage. If you think that marriage can sort of fix this fundamental question. You guys know me well enough to know that I do not like fear-mongering. I do not think that Christianity operates in a fear-mongering mentality. I think Christianity operates by saying, look how good Jesus is, and look how much better he is than everything else. So that's kind of what I want to do. Rather than say, don't do this because your life will be miserable, this is actually what the Bible does. It says, what if there was this vision of marriage that were true, where you were with somebody every single day that did not just tolerate your faith? They didn't just go because you wanted them to, but they were a source of real encouragement. Where what it meant to follow Jesus and to enjoy him forever got amplified the more time you spent together. That the security of Jesus crucified for you gets painted more beautifully each day. Where the days where you're really struggling in your faith, which every single Christian in the world will, your spouse actually helps. And they don't just shut down. When you wake up Sunday morning and you want to sleep in 20 years from now, and your spouse says, hey, man, I know it'd be fun to sleep in, but I really think it's good and important for us as a family to go worship. Because this is the kind of family that I think we need to be. What if the Bible is actually trying to help you see this kind of marriage? We should not date without the question, is this the person that I could marry? Even if you don't know the answer to that question, that is fine. But we should at least take dating a little more seriously. Secondly, I think we should take dating less seriously. Okay, I know, oxymoronic. What do I mean? If dating really is just two people getting to know each other, which I am arguing it is, what if we just treated it like that? With all the stipulations we just said, wouldn't that take the stress out of dating? Wouldn't that sort of make it a little easier to ask somebody out on a date? Wouldn't that make it a little easier to go on a date because it didn't feel like the weight of the world was hinging on how this thing went? If it really was just two people trying to get to know each other, you could take all of the like guessing game out of the subtext of social media and Snapchat and Instagram and everything else, trying to like translate all of the cues to figure out what exactly is going to happen in this thing. What if it really was just two people getting together and sitting across from each other and saying, hey, I don't know where this thing's going to go, but I'm enjoying time with you, and I'd really like to find out. This paradigm, I know, for some of you, is totally nonsensical. And maybe it is. Maybe it is. But what we've been saying the entire time is true, right? What's the chisel for? What is the goal of the relationship? And if we miss this question, like, we're always going to be setting ourselves up for complication and for frustration and for disappointment. What if we could look at somebody and not have to figure out if they held the entire weight of our worth in their hands? What if we could be sad in a breakup without it feeling like it cost us who we were? What if we could enjoy friendship with the people that we dated because ultimately we knew that the sufficiency of Jesus was enough, and that freed us to actually enjoy it for what it was? Because that's the vision he is inviting us into tonight. Amen.